I didn't get the recap from you on your most recent Ottawa trivia trip. Typically, well, you come back to the podcast boasting of your...
I can boast this time that we would have won.
The best kind of boast.
Yes. We split. See, the thing is, the victories were so easy in the past, asterisk on that, that we decided this year to split into our rival Hollywood and Wolfpack factions. I led the Wolfpack. I was Hollywood. It was Hollywood. I'm the bad guy, of course. Mm-hmm. E. Charles R. was leader of the Wolfpack. We split, so there was a draft. And again, the teams are, every other team in this competition has 8 people in it. Our team had 3, and their team, the Wolfpack, had 4.
I like how you didn't even have a full team had you agreed to work together.
Didn't even have a full team, and we split it anyway. We got, I think, 3rd and 4th, or maybe, yeah, I think 3rd and 4th, or 2nd and 4th, or something like that. But if you look at, like, well, we got this one wrong, they got that one right, and they got that one wrong, but then we got it right. Like, if we had been a combined force, we would have won.
So no regrets?
So next year, no mercy? Coming back?
No, no mercy.
Full force.
No, we're coming back. We are reuniting next year.
The march to the sea, just burning everything inside.
Yes. Now, the one year that we did dominate was the year where we were heavy on, like, history, geography, science stuff. That's when we just fucking destroyed them and convinced ourselves that this competition was way easier than it actually is. Since then, they've been more heavy on, like, music and movies, and there was a food category this year, and, like, more general non-Jeopardy-esque questions that level the playing field a little bit, but, you know.
A little more middle brow.
Yes, but we're marching to the sea. We're burning Atlanta. I know this takes place in Ottawa, Ohio, but we're burning Atlanta anyway. I don't care.
Sorry, Atlantans.
Mm-hmm. Uncle Hammer, might want to fireproof your house now.
They're like, ah, we're used to it.
Great podcast theme like that isn't enough to take my mind off last week's loss. I don't know if you tuned in last week, but I did not win.
It's ugly.
That little
got
little
real
game
ugly.
We played.
Hey, look, if they didn't tune in last week, we don't want them this week. That's the way I say it. Listen to all 372 episodes or none.
And in a row, if you skip one, if you miss one, too bad. Start over.
Back to the beginning.
Start over.
Yep, start over.
And that's the rule that got me last week. Don't go back and check. Anyway, that's still smarts. And I was thinking this week, I'll avenge my loss by not competing and instead making my brothers compete. That's right. We're going to play a little game that's pretty common. If you've been listening at all recently, we're going to do a little game I like to call Mount Rushmore. Actually, we're going to do a game that's about like 230 episodes ago, something like that, that is my own idea. I call it Tournament of Nerds. It's a little something I came up with.
Catchy.
Yeah.
Yep.
You came up with that?
I came up with that.
That thing that like improv groups do?
Mm-hmm.
That's you?
That's me.
Holy shit.
I know.
I thought that was named after Jerry Tournament.
No, it's a game that I came up with. Unfortunately, about 10 years from now, I meet a man with a time machine. And we go out and have some beers.
Interesting.
Well, let's just say...
And he didn't go back and bet on the 1992 Bruins? What are you...
No, he's a fucking improv nerd. Have you met these people? So...
I think you mean bet against the 92 Bruins.
Eat shit, Matt. Eat fucking shit.
If you talk about sports championships, as long as they're within the last 50 or so years, you can't sneak something by me.
Yeah.
Again, it'd have to be within the last 50 or so years. But then, again, come on.
You can't sneak something by Grant like the puck in the Game 7 of the Stanley Cup.
Past the Bruins goalie, who was back then, that guy.
Patrick Waugh. Moving on.
He is good.
So, okay. Here's how this game works. My brothers are each going to come up with a team of characters, and then I'm going to pose some scenarios, and we'll see how savvy they are at picking teams who can defeat my challenges. Okay, we'll go in birth order. I'll go first. Oh, I'm just going to ask the questions. Corey, a team of four characters, who did you pick? They can be fictional, they can be real. Who did you pick?
I wanted to keep a theme going on here, so I decided to pick four characters from a movie. Last time we did a video game theme, and so I was going to pick four characters from a movie. I think I'm going to pick... You want all four right now?
Yes, please.
All right. So, from the movie Conan the Barbarian, I'm going to pick Conan the Barbarian.
Yes.
I think from the movie Crocodile Dundee 2.
I'm going to pick Conan the Destroyer.
That was my other team where I picked all from Commando, Predator, Total Recall, and Red Sonja. I'm going to pick Conan the Barbarian from the movie Crocodile Dundee 2. I'm going to pick Mick Dundee. From the movie Saving Private Ryan, I'm going to pick Private Ryan. And from the movie Tron, I'm going to pick The Bit.
Okay.
The little yes or no device that is in the movie Tron.
Okay.
So,
did
the
you
bit
pick Private Ryan because he's like living? The other guys die? I don't know.
If we're sacrificing, we know who we're throwing it in for.
Okay.
The Bit. This is, The Bit from Tron. All right.
Private Ryan, Conan the Barbarian, and Mick Dundee.
Indeed.
Mick Crocodile.
That Dundee? Is exactly how Thank I wrote you. It down, Grant. I wrote Mick Crocodile in quotes Dundee. Matt.
Two lost in Los Angeles or whatever it is.
Mick Crocodile 2.
That's what they call his brother. Yeah.
So Matt, Crocodile Dundee 2, lost in New York, as they call you, Siefker. Matt, that's a strong team. Who do you have to try to counter Corey's team?
I'll come up with a theme here as well. I went with celebrities.
Okay.
I'm going to start off with the biggest of all right now, Taylor Swift.
Ooh.
Ever heard of her?
Nice.
She's enormous. Yeah.
She's on my team.
Obese.
She's a large woman.
38 feet tall. She's
gargantuan. Okay. Enough of her. She's too big.
Next up, we got P. Diddy.
Whoa. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Puffy Combs.
Of all the ditties, went with B.
Yeah.
I was scanning headlines. He's in a lot of headlines, so I thought.
Yes, he is.
Hey, that guy.
I scanned headlines on these newspapers from 20 years ago, which wouldn't have had him anyway. It would have been like magazines or something from 20 years ago.
If you didn't know, Grant, P. Diddy is in the headlines currently for sex trafficking allegations. His house was just raided. And also grooming and molesting stars such as Usher. Allegedly.
Is this it? Are you saying he's in the music
allegedly.
Industry?
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Oh, okay. Well,
yep.
Never mind. He's quite relevant.
Of all legal advice to give out, Ben, let's be very clear. These are
if you say allegedly, you can say whatever the F you want.
I mean, we all know he did it. It's clear.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
No, he did it. But we got to say that.
Touch me.
Yeah.
We got to say allegedly, but we all know he did it.
Yes, we all
know. That's
I would
fact.
Say that definitely makes him the most relevant of ditties. More relevant than doo-wah.
Mm-hmm. It's funny to name Kong? Your group Bad Boy if you rape people. You're like, I'm a bad boy.
He's like,
I'm a bad weirdo boy.
You know, uh-oh, I raped someone. Okay. Matt, who's your next wapist?
My next celebrity
Jared from Subway. Oh wait.
My next celebrity, Alec Baldwin.
Ooh,
mm-hmm. Alec Baldwin.
Man for all seasons.
Yes.
And batting cleanup, the Big Kahuna.
Whoa.
Or
wow.
Or if it's not famous enough, we'll just call him Johnny any radio DJ. But, the Big Kahuna from 106.3, the Fox, baby.
Oh, I thought it was the Eagle. Yeah, nice. The Big Kahuna.
It's not the Eagle anymore?
Oh, man.
It's
not
the
for
Fox.
Like 25 years.
Man, I haven't listened for 26.
It's still the Eagle. That's still the Eagle to me.
They should still make that eagle sound when they do the call sign on the radio. But
hey, they were founded as the eagle. I'm gonna call them the eagle.
Mm. Is Mama calling the eagle?
I immediately thought, hey, Corey has a guy who wears a Hawaiian shirt too, and it's Crocodile Dundee. I don't think he ever does, but in my head he does. And on this episode of the Free Legal Advice Podcast, some of the time, Mick Crocodile Dundee is wearing a Hawaiian shirt. Grant, one of your characters must sometime wear a Hawaiian shirt.
That can probably be arranged. We'll see.
Okay.
I bet that can be arranged.
All right. Grant, who do you have on your team?
Leader of the team. Who better to pick than James Bond from the video game GoldenEye 007. Specifically that Strictly. James Bond.
Okay.
He's got the rugged, good looks of Pierce Brosnan stretched on a tiny texture over that one polygon that makes up his face. Just
okay.
Nice square arms and square legs.
A powerful jaw.
Oh. Okay. Oh, cast iron jaw on that man. Second, going with the big hurt, Frank Thomas.
Ooh.
AL MVP, back-to-back years, 93 and 94. Yeah, 94 was a strike year. It wasn't a full season. But they gave out the awards anyway, and he won it. It still counts. It still counts.
Okay.
I
was a Sox fan.
Third spot, going with professional wrestler Kane. Now, you might say, Grant, why go with Kane when The Undertaker's sitting right there? I mean, The Undertaker's basically exact same thing as Kane, but like, you know,
he's redder,
better in every way.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, that's true. I will grant you that. And so anyway, I'm going with Kane. And well, for my fourth spot,
I'm pretty sure they're the same person. I think I read that online. That's the same.
They're not.
Undertaker and Kane. I'm pretty sure it is.
That was never even a rumor or anything.
If it wasn't, then I'm starting it now.
Fans of this podcast, if you don't know about the WWE, World Wrestling Entertainment, Kane and The Undertaker are the same person.
They are not. The Undertaker is Kane's brother, technically half-brother, because Paul Bearer is actually Kane's father. But look, I'm picking Kane, goddammit. Moving on.
Same guys.
Spot number four.
Who's anchoring the team?
I figured. Got a lot of dudes on this team. It's a real sausage fest.
Mm-hmm.
And that one sausage is very square and sharp at the end of it.
Says it's a normal shape.
Figure we need some feminine wiles on this team.
Ooh.
The feminine mystique. So I went with Rosie the Robot from the Jetsons. Feminist icon, Rosie the Robot.
We can do it.
We wouldn't have gotten through World War II without her.
And by the way, we'll stick a Hawaiian shirt on Rosie the Robot. She won't even notice. She's a fucking robot. And also a cartoon. She's a drawing. Who cares?
Okay, that's a strong way to round out your team. Matt, I can see that you were frustrated that he was picking Kane instead of The Undertaker, but I mean, Kane's in the third spot on the team. Does that make any, you know, you can bury him there in the third spot?
No, that's the thing. That's the strongest spot. That's why I was upset. That's where you put your strongest player.
Interesting.
Yeah, like Kane.
Well, again, same guy as The Undertaker, though.
That was never even a rumor. I don't know where you're getting this from.
I'm pretty sure it was.
The same guy.
They were on screen at the same time. The whole point of introducing Kane was he's part of the...
He had a mask, Grant.
And he's standing right in front of The Undertaker. It's the first thing he did.
He was wearing a mask.
Guys, let's settle this out on the field. Let's settle this out on the court of play. All right. For the first scenario, I want you to each pick one person from your team. Matt, who are you going to pick from your team?
Oh, we don't even get a heads up.
I'll tell you what it is later.
Yeah. All right. Who do we sacrifice? I'm going to start with Alec Baldwin.
Okay. Grant?
Frank Thomas, as he always did, will bat lead off.
Okay. And Corey?
It's a baseball joke if you know baseball.
I don't. I'm going to lead off with Mick, Crocodile Dundee 2, Dundee.
All right. So, you guys understand how this goes here. So, all right, picture yourself. You're traveling back through time. It's 1992. Your classmate's super hot cousin is coming to stay with them for a week, and you want to impress her. So, you go to the mall and buy that dope starter jacket that you've been lusting for, even though you can't afford it.
Mm-hmm. I'm getting horny.
But that's no problem. Mm-hmm. You borrowed the money from your parents. Okay, you took it out of the vacation cash jar. But don't worry, you're going to return the jacket after the date, replace the money, and no one will ever know. What could go wrong?
It's not like you've left a double paper trail.
All right. Starting with Matt, what do you spill on it during the date? And how do you awkwardly try to return it to the store? And then tell me if you got your money back.
Well,
Alec Baldwin.
So we have to return the coat. I was going to jump the gun here. So what I was first going to say is...
Oh, jump the gun, Alec, huh? You were going to jump the gun?
I was going to say, I'm taking the coat back anyways. I'm taking it all back. If the whole point is just to impress the girl, I was going to say, did you know I killed someone? Alec Baldwin. Wow. Me, Alec Baldwin, I actually killed someone with a gun. Remember that? But if that's jumping the rules, then I will... I'll take it back. And if the person at the store says, you know, sorry, we can't accept this as a saying, I'll say... Did you know I killed someone? Alec Baldwin. I actually shot and killed someone. They died. And he or she would probably be scared and then say, okay, sorry, sir. Please don't shoot. I don't know if that's a prop or not, but please don't shoot.
And, I wasn't even trying and I killed them. Imagine what I'd do if I tried at all.
Matt, you did not say what you spilled on it during the date.
Semen.
Okay.
Spilled.
It was someone else's.
By the way, which team was this? Is this an A's starter jacket?
What team?
Yeah. What?
It was an A's starter jacket.
Okay.
It's but not. I own an A's starter jacket, but not that one. The one I own is like the dugout kind with like it's kind of satiny. I want the big puffy one that almost has little like quilted. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Yep. Because that would be more dramatic when it's just sopping with cum. So as you try to return it, but okay. So you play the killing card and you say they're going to return your money. Okay. Corey. What do you spill on it during the date? How do you awkwardly try to return it to the store? Mr. Crocodile Dundee.
You know, I was thrilled to find that starter jacket for the Sydney Wallaboggers. of course, you know, while I was out, on walkabout, yeah? And spilled a little tub of juice on there, you know? Little tub of juice. Just a little tub of juice. Nothing wrong. You can't get that out. I know this is way more New Zealand and wimpy, but... When I bring it back to the store, I just charm the shit out of them talking about, like, yeah, I was on a walkabout. See this? Tub of juice all over here. You ever have some? You got a nice hair. And I just as a fait accompli, I'm like, hey, is the jacket back? I'll take my money. Could I?
Okay. All right. Okay. Crocodile Dundee using his charms to return the jacket.
I do this, Adam, too.
The thing that the listener can't see. That's great.
The thing that the listener can't see, but they know what I'm talking about from both Crocodile Dundee 1 and or 2. I don't know which one.
Don't need to describe it. Don't need to describe it.
Damn it.
Sorry, no description whatsoever. He just said this a couple times.
Don't need to.
If I listen back, I think he said, I do this. Anyway.
Hey, when he's down it, he's kind of makes kind of like a hum. He's like, that's the one. That's the thing.
Okay, Grant. Frank Thomas is out on the date. What does he spill? Mm-hmm. I assume a Cowboys jacket here, or?
You might assume mm-hmm. a White Sox jacket, considering he played for the Chicago White Sox.
Yeah, but it's your fantasy. But, you know, so.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm a White Sox fan, but, you know, it would not be a White Sox fan because the White Sox suck. And they always have and they always will.
Facts.
This is 1992, you said?
Correct.
Ooh.
He's going to pick the Charlotte Hornets. The teal and purple? God.
That would be dope.
Of course he picks a Hornets starter jacket.
Yeah. That's pretty awesome.
He spills tobacco spit on it somehow. I didn't even know if he chewed tobacco, but he went into a dugout briefly and it's flying everywhere. He took it back. Obviously, they're like, what is this tobacco stain on this, sir, Mr. Hurt?
Mm-hmm.
He's just got to sock a few dingers for them, and they'll take it back. That'll soften any kind of situation. Sock a few dingers in the middle of the store. People are running everywhere. Doesn't matter. A dinger has been socked. They'll take it back.
All right. That makes sense. Let's see. Let me tally up the scores here.
I know, just while you're tallying, I know that Grant probably did. You would think Grant won with coolest jacket, but let's keep in mind, my A's starter jacket is a Frank Thomas A's starter jacket for the like 40 games that he played with the A's at the end of his career. So like,
that
but
this is
Trump's
1992, Trump card. And that Trump never A. happened. This is 1992, and that had not happened yet.
You guys will remember that in 95, Frank Thomas also played for the Sydney Wallaboggers for almost 15 hours.
I do remember that, but again, this is 1992, and that has not happened yet.
But soon.
You made up a year. Could have picked any year before. You could have said 1840.
I had no idea what was happening.
The time travel piece is a little, I don't know if weird.
It's difficult.
I've done my maths. I've been studying maths. I've applied my maths. And the results are in. Frank Thomas picked the correct jersey. That was the exact jacket.
Excellent.
I was looking for. Crocodile Dundee 2, nice play there with the accent. Alec Baldwin, you know, people are afraid of someone killing a man. So Grant gets a $100 gift certificate to the East Bay catalog. Corey gets a $30 gift certificate to the West Elm catalog. And Matt gets a subscription to Southern Living Magazine. Okay. Please pick two this time.
They have your address now, Matt.
Corey? <You're
screwed. laughs>
God damn it.
Pick two.
You have to move.
Pick two other characters.
I'm coming out with my two heavy hitters, Conan the Barbarian and the Bit from Tron.
Okay. Grant, who are you going to pick this time?
I'm picking the devil's favorite demon, Kane. And feminist icon, Rosie the Robot. A little bit of heaven, a little bit of hell, you know?
Kane and Rosie, okay. And Matt.
I'm going to pick the former couple, former lovebirds, Taylor Swift and the Big Kahuna.
So they say, Taylor Swift. Ottawa Airport is small, but they have room for her jet to land. That is what they say.
Let us not forget, before Travis Kelce, there was the Big Kahuna.
If I remember correctly, he has a bit of a Jason Kelce look to him, but, all right, the Big Kahuna. All right, so this, your pair will be working together this time, all right, guys? Okay, it's the last week of high school, and you need to get laid. You can't graduate virgins. Whoever even heard of that? I don't think that's ever happened before, but also shut the fuck up. Okay.
According to every movie I've ever seen, it's not allowed. You can't do it.
It's impossible.
They won't even give you the diploma.
Well, that's why they had those dogs sniffing at the on the stage.
Going up and down the rows.
Police dogs.
Mm-hmm. That's why once I was out, I just held my diploma out as I would meet a lady and say, see, you know what this means. All right. So, you get invited to the big end-of-year party because you lie to your love interest that you can get a ton of alcohol for the party. All right, you have no idea how you're going to get all this alcohol. You try with a fake ID, and of course a cop shows up. But get this, he's sympathetic to your story. He agrees to help you get laid if you help solve the murder of his friend. The only clue that you have are some German bearer bonds and some bad drugs found in an apparent suicide victim. How do you and your partner find out who's behind all of this? How do you take them down? And do you get laid? All right, Corey, Conan the Barbarian, the Bit from Tron, take me on the story here. How do you find out who's behind all of this? How do you take them down? And do you get laid?
This scene takes place in a smoky yurt. We're sitting around after one of Conan's many victorious battles, and the police officer is saying, you know, how do we solve this mystery? And the guy says, we track down suspects. And he says, no, Conan, how do we solve this mystery? And Conan explains that the best way to solve a mystery is to crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and hear the lamentations of the clues. And the entire time, the bit is going, yes. It just keeps agreeing with him like a hype man. So the entire yurt is full of people and police officers who are sympathetic to the cause. And Conan comes back with a bloody, bloody body and just throws it on the ground and says, there. Nah. No one questions him.
Is that the right guy? It doesn't matter.
Well, and then they ask the bit, is that a right guy? And he just kind of doesn't say anything.
Okay, does the bit get laid?
Oh, yeah, have you seen it?
Okay. Good point. Okay, Grant, how do you find out who's behind all this? How do you take him down, and do you get laid?
Rosie the Robot is a robot from the future, and their little compartment opens up, and it's got, like, it's just a little robot arm, but it's holding a magnifying glass. Mm-hmm. Goes on to the German bearer bonds. It, you know, looks over all of the evidence with that. Makes some kind of like old timey computer noises that they thought computers would make in the future. But why would they make so much noise?
They would be pretty
noisy in the future. Computers are fucking silent. But yes, it makes fake future computer noises. Rosie is able to follow the trail of clues then, and of course there's going to be some trouble. There's some bad apples mixed up in this. It turns out Kane is, however, able to chokeslam them all. He can just do this with his arms, and then flames shoot up randomly. It's actually pretty disturbing. I mean, why are they letting this man entertain children? It's really crazy. But he can summon flames. He can chokeslam people. He can be the muscle. Rosie will be the futurized, computerized brains, the Sherlock Holmes of the situation. In fact, you can just put a Deerstalker cap on her. She won't even notice. Again, she's a drawing. But they will solve this mystery very easily. In fact, they're basically like a perfectly suited team. And in answer to who gets laid, they lay each other.
Oh, nice.
Sexy.
I was really hoping we would get there. All right, Matt. Taylor Swift and the Big Kahuna are on the case. This is a buddy cop movie I want to see, regardless of
Absolutely.
What you come up with.
We're going to apply the best of both worlds. Good old-fashioned hitting-the-bricks detective work and some of the most sophisticated digital sleuthing available today. So, first of all, we got our man out in the field, the Big Kahuna.
Mm-hmm.
He's broadcasting live from Parking Lot Fest in Dutster this weekend. And he's going to, we feel like he's got his ears to the ground. And this is the scene in the movie where, you know, you think he's just like the fat radio DJ wearing a Hawaiian shirt in the corner. But, you know, he's got an earpiece in and he's asking people questions and he gets just enough clues. Have you heard anything about his bear bonds? And he just gets a whiff of a description of who this could be. Turns that over to Taylor Swift. All she's got to do is sick her insane army of internet fans. She makes one tweet and 4,000 replies, and 10 seconds later, they found the man, hiding in a basement in Turkey or something like that. And problem solved.
Did they get laid?
Did I mention he's wearing a Hawaiian shirt then? So the answer is yes, the big kahuna got laid.
By the end of the night, she's wearing the Hawaiian shirt and nothing else.
Excellent. All right, Matt, I'm going to award you a pack of nudie playing cards. Grant, I'm going to award you a pack of pinup playing cards. And Corey, I will award you an 8 of hearts. The 8 is most versatile, as it can be a pair of boobs or a butt, depending on how you squint at it, and the heart doubles as a second butt. All right.
Double butt.
All right. So who do we have remaining? Let's see. From Grant, who do you have left?
I have video game James Bond.
That's right. Video game James Bond. Who is going second? Will be Matt. Matt, who is your remaining?
Sean Puffy Combs.
Oh yeah, that's right. We didn't do Diddy yet. And Corey,
we all have to stand out as
Private Ryan.
Private Ryan is
here to save the day. I'm not sure. I didn't see the movie.
So, Matt, is the implication here that Taylor Swift and the Big Kahuna are both like criminals in some way, or then?
No, I just picked the four biggest celebrities of our time.
The four biggest. Okay, fair enough. Okay.
All right. The scenario is a little simpler. You and your partner, and by this partner, this is somebody else at the firm you're working for, okay? It's not one of your characters. You and your partner are taking two clients to lunch after a pitch meeting to try to win their account. You're driving. You fart. It's heinous. You stifle a gag. How do you handle this situation? Grant, you're going first. Twist! Your partner's a rookie! A rookie.
Well, unfortunately, for my competitors, I know exactly what I'm going to do. Now, James Bond has been exposed to all sorts of toxic gases and stuff, and he's come out squeaky clean on the other side. The thing is, with this one, you got the rookie on your team. The rookie is going to screw something up.
Mm-hmm.
It's guaranteed the rookie's going to screw something up. They're a fucking rookie. Almost as bad as a freshman.
Yeah.
And so while the rookie is going to ruin Corey's team, it's going to obliterate Matt's team, the rookie will, if anything, be a boon to my team, because as soon as something goes wrong, all video game James Bond has to do is kill himself. He'll then just start over from the start of the level. He knows what went wrong. The rookie now has experience. They'll make it farther in that scenario, and then, oh, the rookie fucked it up again. Bam! Start over. Bunna, bunna, the blood will run down the screen. Which is what happens when you die. Blood will cover your eyes, but it'll be a very thin coat of blood, so you'll still be able to see everything. It'll just have a very red tint to it.
Mm-hmm.
But start over. Now you have even more experience.
We know how it works. Yeah.
By the end of this right. scenario, the rookie will be outpacing James Bond himself.
So, Grant, you're driving, you fart, and you blow your brains out. All right, Corey.
Yes.
Matt is next.
It's a foolproof strategy. It cannot lose.
Matt is next. You and your partner taking two clients to lunch after a pitch meeting to try to win their account. You're driving. You fart. It's heinous. You gag. How do you handle this situation? Twist! Your partner is a woman.
I'm, again, shit. As P.
Diddy.
I was hoping
they'd be a rookie.
P. Diddy, let's see. He rapes the two clients. And then he molests the rookie and intimidates her into not talking and says she'll never work in the industry again if she says anything. And then he takes his private jet to Barbados and you never see him again.
Hey, say no more. Perfect way to mask a fart.
It's the perfect
I think he'll get away
crime.
With that forever.
I think he'll
get away with that forever.
I think he will. That's the most realistic one so far, at least. Corey, Private Ryan, and his partner are taking two clients to lunch after a pitch meeting to try to win their account. You're driving. You fart. It's heinous. You gag. How do you handle this situation? Corey, the twist is you get the third flavor of partner, a dog.
Not a rookie woman dog?
No. There's a dog riding shotgun.
Dog's a grizzled veteran.
Madison Avenue veteran.
I know this is going to sound callous because that dog's only got 1 year left till retirement, which is like 30 days, 30 human.
Yeah, it's one dog year left to retirement.
Right. So, the thing is, he's a dog. And you wouldn't believe how many people they let die to save me. So, I mean, no offense to the dog. I know he's a dog and everything. But I lean out the window and I go, can you believe this dog? I blame it on the dog.
Great. Classic move. A classic move.
That's true. Yeah. That's not fair.
Yeah.
As soon as it gets anyone's attention, I'm like, because there was this tank coming at me. And I just kind of ramble off on a dangerous war story after I blame the dog.
All right.
Had to save me. I was Private Ryan.
That's what everyone remembers about him, I'll be honest. All right. Corey, you win a Ninja Star. Matt, you win a pack of Diamond Rhino powder pills from 7-Eleven. And Grant, You win a tank top with an eagle wearing a flag bandana and sunglasses that says American Badass.
So the best one. I win the best one.
All three are the best one. I cannot tell the difference as far as their bestness. All right, last challenge. You got to use your entire team. You're going to need it because you need to save summer camp. Oh, ooh. Shit. All right. You've been having a great summer so far. Arts, crafts, little flirtations with the co-eds at camp. Things seem to be going great. You're gearing up for the big talent show. Oh, shit. Someone is trying to shut down the camp. How do you find out who is trying to shut down the camp, Matt?
Well, I've already proven my crime-solving abilities, right, with the famous duo of Big Kahuna and Taylor Swift. So I'm pretty confident that we'll be able to solve this one, particularly with those two all-stars, P. Diddy and Alec Baldwin, with us. So we just need to understand who is shutting it down and stop them from doing it.
Yeah, well, there's going to be a series of different things you need to do. First thing you need to do, how do you find out who's behind all this? Who's trying to shut down the camp?
Okay, so Alec Baldwin goes around, you know, around camp, around town, and he walks up to people and says, "Hey, I've killed someone before with a gun. You thought it was a prop gun? It was a real gun, and I killed someone. I actually killed a human." Anyways, that people find that pretty intimidating, and we were able to, like, rattle some cages and get some answers.
Nice. Because we got to save summer camp here, folks. Step number one is finding out who it is. So, yep, rattling the cages, that's the way to go. Corey, how do you find out who's behind all this?
I have the crew maintain their calm, like they don't know what's going on. Keep running the summer camp while Mick Dundee goes out, and he takes like a weird chicken bone on a string, and he swings it around his head until it makes a thumping kind of like whistle. Uh-huh. Until some strange forest people come out, and they're like, "Yeah, it's this corporation."
Okay, that bone will do it every time. Grant,
yeah,
how do you find out who's trying to do this?
Well, whatever shadowy force it is, obviously they've covered all their tracks. They're rock solid. Cannot, you know, there's not a crack to be found. Except, of course, the one person who does know all of the crucial information happens to be an incredibly gorgeous woman that James Bond just makes love to repeatedly until she tells him. It's very strange how all these bad guys always have some super hot lady working for them. I mean, plays right into his hand, but yes, he will make love to whoever needs to be made, whoever needs love made to them. He will make it, and then they will tell him. You know, they'll flip. He'll turn him, flip him, get him on his side. He'll learn all the information he needs.
Perfect. All right. Well done, everyone. Matt, you get some trail mix. Corey, you get some gorp. Grant, you get some scroggin, which is apparently what they call it in Australia. Fuck. Sink that continent. We've sank the fucking British Isles. They're next.
To quote Grant, they're supposed to be better than us.
They're supposed to be better than us with their scroggin in their chili bins.
You want some scroggin, mate? All right. You figured out who's behind it. The first thing you do is you rush right in and confront them, right? How do you confront them and how do they crush you? Corey.
How do they crush us? Well, the thing is, I send the bit in there. Mm-hmm. And it's got a known strategy. It comes in and starts just saying yes and no whenever he's like, "What is this thing?" "Yes." "Hey, I'm trying to shut down a camp." "No." But it's also a bit, and so he swats it with one of those electric fly swatters.
Okay, nice. Grant, how do you confront them? How do they crush you?
So we would confront them head on with Kane. He's billed at 7 feet, and so...
same quite exact height as the Undertaker. Presence.
That's true. That is, I mean, they're brothers, Matt.
Never been in the same room together.
Checkmate. Wait a minute. Anyway, the problem is Kane is billed at 7 feet. Really, he's like 6'8", maybe. And so they're expecting someone much larger when he walks in. They're significantly less intimidating than they would otherwise be. Also, James Bond gets himself captured in every movie. I mean, all he has to do is walk into the wrong spot, and then there's a bunch of losers with guns pointing at him from every direction. Then it's like, okay, well, hands up.
All right. And Matt, how do you confront who's behind your camp's woes? And clearly they crush you.
Well, confrontations are hard. So the big kahuna's thinking, like, let's do this in an easy place, a fun atmosphere. And he's like, you know what? The beer barrel in Finley's got great happy hour specials. And so he proposes to meet at the beer barrel. The problem is he's advertising the beer barrel's happy hours. He's advertising the Carriot's happy hours, the bomb shelter. When they get there, he realizes he got the wrong hours, and the guy's really pissed that the beer was $4 instead of $3.
Oh,
and shit. So he ends up crushing it.
Damn, that's a hard way to go out. Well, you all tried, and that's important. You know, you got to defend your camp. Corey, you have you win a smuggled box of candy bars. Grant, you get a smuggled pack of cigarettes. And Matt, you get a smuggled box of fireworks that get confiscated. But you don't get in trouble. So, you know.
He's a legend. Okay.
Ups and downs. Camp legend. Few years from
and
now,
basically every year after this, they'll say that he burnt the camp down with
exactly
the fireworks.
Right. I was gonna say next year you lit one off right in the camp counselor's face. All right, guys, that was harsh. You get crushed right away as soon as you try to stick up for your camp. You need to pick up the pieces and regroup, and then you need to degroup and form an alliance with your former enemies in camp so that you have critical mass and group that up into a group, huh? Now. What song is playing during this group up, and are you singing it? Grant, you're going first.
It's just the do-do-do-do-do-do-do from Semi-Charmed Life or whatever the hell. It's just that over and over again.
Okay. And are you singing it? Like, are your characters all do-do-dooting?
They're in, like, one scene. It's clip after clip of them recruiting everyone, but then there's one scene where they're, like, arm-in-arm singing it, but then it goes back to recruiting.
Okay. All right. Matt, what song is playing when you guys are grouping up with your former enemies in camp?
It's any rap song by a really famous and talented rapper. But P. Diddy's not actually singing. He gets credit for it, but in the background, he just goes,
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Uh-huh. Bad boy. What?
And sometimes it's like you think the whole song's going to be over, and it's like, oh, sweet, we made it all the way through without Puffy. And then he has like some rant at the end about Bad Boy and... Yeah, so pick any number of them.
All right.
So he produced the montage, and he gets all the credit. Exactly.
Not really. No, yes. No. He owns the label, but he says diss for Big at the end. It's for you. It's for Big. All right. Corey, what song is playing when you're teaming up with that fucking Farnsworth from across the camp, cabin number 7?
So,
God damn it.
Like we go and we're like, you know, he sees us coming, like a whole group of us, and you know, he steps out ready to confront, and there's like a big stare down, and we kind of get really close, and then he's like, "What the fuck are you doing here?" And Conan steps forward and says, "I think we're saving this fucking camp." And then you just hear the beginning of Suffragette City, and that's our montage as we do a big strong thing, but I crush his fucking hand because I'm Conan and I don't understand it. And he's in like one of those shoulder casts with like a little pillow that keeps his like shoulder just far enough away. Like it's not like tight against his body, but it's like suspended. Mm. He's in one of those for the rest of the montage.
All right. Wow, wham, bam. Thank you, man.
And he's in a second one at the end of the montage when Conan slaps him on the back.
Nice work, guys. Grant, you see a cute co-ed camper side boob. Nice. Matt,
nice.
You see a cute co-ed camper smile. Nice. Corey, you see the indelible image of the camp director's incredibly puffy nipple as he was changing before last night's talent show.
Why is it like that?
It's so weird.
I have to solve every little of nipples.
Never forget it. All right. Now that you have critical mass, who confronts the enemy in your camp story, and how do you defeat them? Matt.
Who do I confront?
How do you confront? So who in your group, or how does your group confront? You know who the enemy is. Your group has to now confront the enemy and defeat them. How?
Oh, the whole
basically
the whole group?
You're saving the fucking camp this time.
We fly in with Taylor Swift's private jet. I don't know if you guys heard about that thing. She's flying it everywhere. Takes it to get the groceries.
She takes it down to Revelry in the morning. Yep.
Private jet, yeah. She flies in with the private jet, and all of the friends, there's room for everybody. There's going to be a party. The big kahuna's there. Alec Baldwin's there. And all of your friends, all the cool camp people get on, and suddenly like, hey, I don't know if we're going to have room for everybody. There's, you know, what about that Farnsworth and the people from across the camp? Don't worry. P. Diddy pulls up with his private jet and says, hey, got room for you guys over here in my jet. And all the good people fly away with Taylor Swift and have great fun across the world. And the other people get raped by P. Diddy.
All right. That's it. And the audience cheers, of course, when they're during all the raping. The
Yay, the bad people got raped. Yep.
Yay. Grant?
Kind of a rated G kind of ending, but
exactly. G for gangbang. Grant, you're up next. How do you save camp? Yes.
Well, strategy number one, you got Frank Thomas, the big hurt.
Oh, nice.
He will cause a distraction by socking dingers first into the lake, and then there will be escalating dares. He will sock several dingers across the lake to those stuck-up cheerleader campers. One of them will go through a window. It will knock, it will smash into a mirror. The girls will be very frustrated. How are they going to get ready for the big? Hold on. I'm going off on a thing about these. This is a whole other movie. It's a whole other movie. That's okay. Good. It's focused on Frank Thomas. He causes a distraction. With his dinger socking. James Bond will come in. He will judo chop everyone. He will probably not kill anyone. Actually, if we're being honest with me, he'll probably not kill anyone. But he'll take care of them. I mean, they will be incapacitated to some degree. Because it's the end. I mean, of course he's going to come in and incapacitate everyone. There might be a high catwalk or walkway or cliff or something. He can throw someone off. Plausibly, they didn't die. Who knows? But he throws them off. Okay, he's good. So you're not going to see any real death, but he'll work his way through. Meanwhile, you might be wondering, but Grant, what about all the children at camp? Won't they be scared? No. Kane will summon fire and they will roast marshmallows.
Nice.
And in the end, Rosie the Robot will clean up after everything. Whim, bam, boom.
Whim, bam, boom. Indeed, Corey.
That's Latin for veni, vidi, vici.
Corey, what happens?
We go to confront this nameless evil. And Private Ryan walks out alone to face the hordes of whoever our enemy is. I'm sure they're all there. They've got their excavators. They got their bulldozers.
Sons of bitches.
Ready to bulldoze. Oof. I know. So Private Ryan walks out and he says, he starts giving a speech about
how dare they want to build a better and cheaper camp for everyone. Oh, those bastards!
So Private Ryan starts talking about, I didn't not die so that you guys could build a better, cheaper thing. Not in my America. And he's like, we're not here for violence. Meanwhile, Mick Dundee is rounding up the rest of the campers. Conan has picked up a couple benches on his shoulder, and they're all walking away further and further. And so Private Ryan is trying to tell everyone that, like, you know, like, you guys have won, just no more bloodshed, no more fighting. And then he shouts back, he's like, is everyone clear? And the bit says, yes. And then a bomb lands right on Private Ryan and blows everyone up. And as the smoke clears, he shouts into the skulls of his enemies, I'm Private Ryan. I can't die, bitch.
Oh, nice.
It's true.
It's true. He's immortal.
Raising it up, he shouts, I am immortal. And we're all set. Everyone comes back to the camp.
Oh, the great spirit has
spoken.
Hell
of a bonfire.
The camp has been saved. Fantastic. Grant or Matt, I'm going to award you a quarterstaff and the ability to swing it around in a cool martial way that makes it look like it's all spinning around. I'm awarding you a hawkbill pocket knife. Totally bad ace. And Corey,
it's open for a dime staff.
I am awarding you a lanyard with the second most common braid pattern. All right, guys, Camp was saved. All the loose ends are tied mm-hmm. up. Talent show goes off without a hitch. Susie Helmsworth was found just minutes before her parents showed up. No one complained about the light in the guest room at my house that I haven't replaced, but I said I was going to over winter break, and it's springtime already. Great times, and we'll see you next year. But wait, what happens when the campers go home? Royal Rumble, of course. All right, which of your characters win in a Royal Rumble? Shit. Corey, you go first.
Amongst my own four?
Yes.
This is pretty easy. It gets like, you know, Private Ryan's a combatant, you know, Conan's a barbarian.
Mm-hmm.
The Bit grew up in a land of war and turmoil and fighting. And so clearly as everyone's like gearing up and ready to fight, Mick Dundee lets them all fight to death and then does a special whistle that has like a water buffalo crush whoever's left. And then he's just, as he walks away, he loses his limp.
Hell yeah. All right, Grant, battle royale between your characters, who wins?
Now, you would assume it's Kane.
You would.
I mean, you would assume it's Kane.
Is it Kane?
The thing is, if you followed Kane's career, it's not Kane. He's not going to win. He's going to be very threatening, but he's not going to actually win anything. He will eliminate Frank Thomas. Rosie the Robot will have some kind of weird backfire. A cog will shoot out of like a opening inside her, and then Kane will toss her over the rope. And then it's classic situation, enormous threatening man in mm-hmm. front of little old English James Bond. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen? Kane will beat the crap out of him for a while.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's like, okay, here we go. We're getting ready for the final blow to throw him over the top rope. James Bond slips down, pulls the top rope down. Kane flies over. James Bond wins.
I am a real Britannican. I'm feeling it. Hell yeah. Matt, who wins the battle royale between your characters?
Taylor Swift, Diddy, Baldwin, they walk into the ring and, you know, you think this is going to be nasty, right? You know, they're raping and they're shooting and they got their private jets. But the fact is,
Kahuna rapes.
Let's not forget.
Never mind.
Those three are Hollywood types, and before they could even whip their raping dicks out, the big Kahuna starts talking about on tomorrow morning's block of Fox Rock. We got a fun story about a dog who followed the Pandora fireman home. And he just bores these Hollywood people can't take that. He bores them to death, and they turn tail and run rather than have to listen to whatever boring story he's telling from the Midwest. So the Big Kahuna, last man standing.
Nice work. All right, Corey, I award you a whittled penis. Grant, I award you a lesser whittled penis. And Matt, I award you a whittled uncircumcised stick. Okay.
Oh, it's so weird looking.
So much bark. All the fore bark is still on it. All right. Nice work, everybody. I win. Hell yeah. I avenged my loss from last week.
Ah, shit.
Hey.
Damn it.
Rich summer camp. What a great diversion. What a great distraction. But do you guys remember Little Captain Travis? Remember when Alec Baldwin shot and killed someone?
He did?
With a gun. He killed someone. What did you guys think about that? Let us know. Email us at freelegaladvicepodcast@gmail.com.
Hey, if you want to see pictures of Taylor Swift and the Big Kahuna Indian leg wrestling, head on over to Instagram. You can find shit like that on our account. We are at Free Legal Advice Podcast.
And like Grant always says, Grant himself says,
I say,
Kane and The Undertaker are the same person. We're proving it.
A lot of incriminating things.
He's wearing a mask. He's got a mask
awful
on. Anybody could wear a mask.
I have not said that, though. I've never said that.
The mask is coming off this week.
Sense.
On Threads, we are on top of Free Legal Advice Podcast.
Yeah, and if you like the show and you like us playing games like this, maybe you can also enjoy a riddle. Maybe you could solve the riddle of steel for me. Just let me know. let me know how far you've got on that, because Thulsa Doom's way ahead. trying to catch up. And if you really like the show, wait until we play it again when I have my other movie team, which is Princess Peach from the Mario movie, Miles Tails Prower from the Sonic movie, Detective Pikachu from the movie Detective Pikachu, and M. Bison, Raul Julia's last performance from Street Fighter.
Oh.
The silver screen classics. Classic.
Classic.
A classic bit.
Episode 222.
This dog, again, the dog at this point is unbeatable. So what weakness could this dog possibly have, Ben?
AIDS.
That's the thing. Dog canine AIDS is real, and a lot of we all want to act like it's not. We just want to look the other way.
It's a weakness. Even even Rat Girl can't. I mean, maybe that's going to be some PSA time, like Rat Girl's, you know, invincible fighting crime. But there's one thing Rat Girl worries about: AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Even a common cold can be fatal to Rat Girl.
Yep.
Now, does she have canine AIDS or canine HIV, the virus that causes canine AIDS?
Now, see, that's interesting, because I was just going to say that's the one thing she's worried about. Like, that could be her weakness. Someone's like, I'm going to give you AIDS. And she's like, oh, shit, you know. But no, fine, let's give her full-blown AIDS.
Oh,
she's got full-blown canine AIDS.
She licked the wrong toilet seat.
I was going to go with Magic Johnson and peanut butter, but hey, let's go with the toilet seat. That's going to be a little bit better.
Wow, just when I thought we hit the high watermark of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
Peanut butter and aristocrats himself into the stratosphere. Yeah.
The thing is, we didn't come up with a method this time, and I think like it's best left to the imagination. Having not left it to the imagination, I'm going to say it's best left to the imagination.
I like that we mentioned two possibilities. Now, you know, it's Schrodinger's AIDS.
It's science, Corey. You test once, that didn't work. Well, let's try it again. Oh, nope, that still didn't work. Moving on.
No, I was just going to say that she was exposed, or that she was worried about it, but Grant made me do that.
Yep. I so take full responsibility. I gave a fictional dog feline AIDS. Canine AIDS.
My weakness also is feline. Grant's assignments. Mm-hmm.
Turn internet over.